What is up, podcast community? My name is Michael Chernow, and this is the Creatures of Habit podcast. Habits are everything, and on this show, I will be interviewing some of the most inspiring, motivated, and high-performing humans on the planet to learn about the daily habits, routines, and rituals that help keep them focused, determined, on top of their game, and ultimately, happy. My journey from the depths of addiction and misery to success as a family man and serial entrepreneur was only made possible by replacing bad habits with great ones, and my mission in life today is to share that story and the story of others with you to bring value and life-changing tools to as many people as possible. So sit back, relax, and pay attention, because what you hear in this podcast today can potentially change your life. Let's go. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Creatures of Habit podcast. Today, I've got a buddy on the show, a friend for a number of years, Kenny Santucci. He is a just tried and true, all-around awesome dude who happens to be the founder and creator and owner of Strong New York, a massive fitness event that takes place once a year in New York City. People fly from all over the world to participate in it, to attend it. We just actually came off of it last week. It was amazing. I'm still buzzing from the event that Kenny created. And, you know, I just want to say that, like, putting on an event like that, seeing it in real life was spectacular. He took over a massive space, Chelsea Piers in New York. And, you know, it's not easy to fill a place like that. And it was packed and it was amazing. And he had speaker after speaker just crushed it. It was so inspirational, such an awesome experience. Kenny is also if you are in the fitness community in New York and the United States of America, you know Kenny Santucci. He is a well-known coach, trainer, and really has coached some of the best of the best. I'm super pumped to have Kenny on the show to talk about habits, rituals, routines, because that is essentially what his life is based around. Kenny, welcome to the show.
It is an honor to be here. You know, I first found out who Mike was when I was working at Equinox years ago. It's like 2009, 2008. And they had his picture up everywhere. And I was like, who is this handsome guy that they have everywhere? And they were like, oh, that's the guy who owns the meatball shop. I'm like, he owns a meatball shop and he looks that good? What the hell is this guy doing? And that was like the aura. It was like this thing. And then I met you when I was living on 21st Street and you had just opened the one on 21st and 9th. Yeah. So I would hang out there all the time. That's where we first met. So it's an honor to be here.
Thank you, man. You know, your name has come up in so many conversations over the years of, you know, people. I'll be talking to somebody today. Do you know Kenny Santucci? You remind me of Kenny Santucci. I'm like, yeah, I know Kenny Santucci. I mean, I think whatever you're doing, it's working.
I hope so, because I eat, sleep, and breathe it. You know, a lot of people look forward to vacations and time off and things like that. It doesn't even cross my mind. Like, I enjoy the grind. I enjoy the process. I enjoy working. Like, all I want to do for the rest of my life is be able to work, right? Because eventually you get to a point where people are like, you don't serve a purpose anymore. You're not needed. And I never want to feel that. I always want to be like doing something that kind of adds value to everybody's life.
Well, I mean, you definitely do that. I was doing some research, even though I know you pretty well, before the episode, and it wasn't always that way for you, right? I mean, you went through some shit in high school where you were probably weighed more than you do now in your freshman year.
I did.
On your website, you actually share a picture that is just fucking monumental. I want to frame that picture and put it up in my office. I love that picture of you in the Superman costumes. It's fantastic.
I keep it in my phone to give me inspiration. I was, you know, and that's why I gravitate towards training, because I know what it feels like. Right. Still, I think you're once a fat kid, always a fat kid. And me and Gunner were actually talking about that. It's kind of lodged in the back of your head that this could be a possibility again. And it's always something that I strayed away from, because I'm like, that's something I could control. It takes discipline on my part to stay in shape and to be in the gym all the time. So that's when I decided to make it my life. I was like, I just need to be in the gym. And if I could do that for myself, well, after you master it for yourself or actually get decent at it, then you want to do it for everybody else. So that's what I started doing. And that's when it like really takes off, because every morning, every day, I tell people working out is like brushing your teeth. It's a lifestyle. It's, you know, you wouldn't leave the house without brushing your teeth. And if you do, you're a dirtbag, mm-hmm. right? If you go a day without like doing something to get your heart rate up and get you feeling good, to me, I can't understand it. I get it because I've been there before, but this day and age when it's everywhere, it wasn't like that when we were growing up.
No.
I was just telling somebody today, when I started going to the gym at 13, 14 years old, I had to travel 20, 30 minutes. Like I had to wait for somebody to give me a ride to a gym so I could use it. Or I used the gym in my high school, but I had to find a gym. Now there's a gym on every corner and everywhere you go. You turn on your phone and the biggest thing on social media is fitness. Everybody's a fitness influencer. Everybody looks great naked now. You know, at least the people I follow.
It's so interesting because, like you said, when I was growing up, or when we were growing up, we're roughly the same age. Yeah. If you went to the gym, you were a meathead.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you were kind of like a hoo-hoo-hoo kind of guy.
People made fun of you all the
time. People make fun of
you. Yeah.
It was either you played sports, and playing sports was different than going to the gym. Mm-hmm. But if you went to the gym, it wasn't something that people like celebrated, you know? And now today, it's just so, it couldn't be more of the opposite.
Yeah. It's now, so relevant.
Yeah.
Right? I remember going to the gym as a kid. Actually, one of the days I remember the most about going to the gym was during 9/11. Mm-hmm. So the day 9/11, I left school. I had an early morning class. It was like 7 in the morning, 8 o'clock. I leave. I go home. I saw my dad. He was just leaving for work. I was a freshman in college at the time. He's like, oh, where are you going? He's like, some plane just hit the World Trade Center. I was like, what? I got to the gym, and I walk in the gym, and there's like 50 guys by the cardio machines, right? And obviously, like, there were mostly women who were on the cardio equipment and stuff, and all the weights were, like, empty. And I was like, what the hell is everybody watching on TV? And I remember walking over and seeing, I was like, what the hell's happening right now? But it was weird because normally all the guys were in one section of the gym and all the women were in the other section. Now I was just at a gym in New Jersey, in Howell, New Jersey, this beautiful brand new gym. And there were more girls on the strength equipment than there were guys. And I'm like, it has flipped. In the last, 20 years? It's completely the opposite.
Specifically that time. Like, I feel like that time and like, the 90s, the late 80s, 90s, it was also the era for fast food.
Yes.
Right? It was like nutrition took a really bad turn, like a really bad turn in that time.
It was like value meals, right? It's like you get more shit for less money.
Right. it was the tail end of the microwave dinner and the beginning of like, you know, Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And so I think that there was a time in our childhood when we were growing up that health in general just took a turn for the worse. And we are now feeling that. We're now really feeling, our parents are feeling that.
Yeah.
Because the idea of eating healthy and moving your body, working out, just didn't exist when they were our age. It just was not something that anybody did.
Yeah, I think I always say we are the generation that like kind of steered it in a different direction. You know, we felt the effects of our parents, that like 20-year gap where people were eating fast food and consuming more because it meant, you know, you're getting more value, right? It was just sold to us that way. And I realized that I felt terrible, and I started to learn that I could control this and I didn't have to be fat and uncomfortable and all these things. So I think our generation kind of overcorrected it. So that's why you have maniacs like us who are like, all right, I'm going to dedicate my life to this. You know, and you're seeing a younger generation where like, I go to the gym, but I have this other job, or I'm a content creator or whatever it may be. I think they're not as obsessed as we are, but I think our generation was the first ones to get really obsessed about the gym.
Yeah. I mean, my life didn't start really until I got into fitness and nutrition. Mm-hmm. You know, I really flipped a switch in my life when I was 23.
I was going to say, you were in your 20s, right?
Yeah. I was 23. I was living definitely not a commendable lifestyle. I decided to get sober, and I replaced all those bad habits with fitness and nutrition. And everything in my life changed. Literally, I do feel like my life really began there. It was the foundation that I have realistically built the structure of my life upon.
I love hearing your story, and I love hearing very similar stories because, you know, we talk about like prisons and stuff being like rehabilitation centers. I have a friend who actually just got out of doing a 12-year deal. And he's like, as much as I don't want to admit this, he goes, it's the best thing that happened to me. He's like, I'm a different person. I was a different person going in, and I'm a different person coming out. And I was like, wow, that's so interesting. And it's like, no one wants to give somebody a second chance, but are there people who don't change? Absolutely. But there's also people who do change. And it's like somebody like you, if they had met you at 18, 19, 20 years old, they would have been like, this guy's a screw up. Nobody needs him. He's, you know, get rid of him, mm-hmm. right? Put him away. Get
useless.
Rid of him. And now look at you, right? Like the second half of your life is pretty impressive. Like from what I've noticed.
I mean, let's not get carried away. Not the second half. Just the beginning of the end of the first quarter.
The end of the first half, yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by, you guessed it, Creatures of Habit. Creatures of Habit is a lifestyle and wellness brand. We launched the brand with a product called The Protagonist. It is a superhuman oatmeal. It is not just regular oatmeal. It is plant-based, dairy-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, packed with 30 grams of plant-based protein, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D3, probiotic, digestive enzymes, truly the best thing you can put in your body to kickstart your day. Used as a pre-workout meal or a post-workout meal. This is a meal, everybody. This is not a snack. This is a meal. It is perfect for on the go. Use promo code KOHPOD20, the number 20. That's KOHPOD20 at checkout when you pop over to creaturesofhabit.com. That is creatures with a K, creaturesofhabit.com. We appreciate you. We love you. And now on to the pod.
It all started with habits for me. That is what this podcast is about. Mm-hmm. The podcast itself is about really sharing habits, morning routine, evening routine. I believe that that is where the value is and has come from in my life. And that's why I want to share it with as many people as possible. That's why I bring guys like you on the podcast to talk to us about your morning routine, your wind down routine, so that they can potentially, you know, extrapolate a few things that would make sense in their life to be a better version of themselves.
Yeah, and like what I was saying before about like loving the grind, because it's not always going to be pretty. It's not always but you get into those habits, right, that you realize that it'll be beneficial over time. You know, one of the hoodies that I sold at the gym, and I have a logo for it. I remember a high school football coach of mine, my freshman year of high school. It was like, they called it Hell Night. And they would wake us up in the middle of the night, and it's raining, and we're running up and down this hill for hours. And he's like, take care of the little things, and the big things take care of themselves. And those little things are the habits, right? The things you do on a daily basis. If you're constantly doing the right shit, it eventually adds up to the big shit,
mm-hmm.
right? You go to the gym, you're not going to see the results right away. You're not going to see all the benefits of it right away. But it's like, if you compound those over time, you become the person you want to become. Everybody wants a quick fix these days, but it doesn't happen.
It's not realistic.
No. And everybody thinks like there's always this like get rich plan. But for me, it's, I get up every morning, I go to the gym, I take care of my clients, I go to the gym, I take care of myself. Like, those things will compound over time. You know, when I first started in fitness, I didn't work in this industry. I didn't know anybody. It's not like my parents or anybody I knew plugged me in and I got to like, you know, jumpstart to it. It's like I had to grind away. I was cleaning up weights at an Equinox for years. Slowly it became a thing. You know, people see it now and they're like, oh, you got this event, you got all this stuff going on, you know all these people. I'm like, you're seeing 10 years of me breaking my ass. You know, and I hopefully it'll be even better in 10 years from now.
Walk us through, if you can, in detail,
mm-hmm.
what your morning routine looks like on a good morning.
So I either start at the gym at 5:30 or 6 is probably the latest I get there. So I'll get up. I have to take a shower. I like taking a cold shower. I don't always love doing it. You know, most mornings I'm like, this sucks, and I'll do kind of a transition, hot, cold, kind of gets my blood going. Take some multivitamins. I've been laying off coffee lately. I've been taking that mud water. Have you tried that?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been on the mud water for about 3 weeks now, 3-4 weeks. I'm just kind of giving it a shot, seeing how it is. I obviously like the taste of coffee better, but I feel like coffee with the acidity in it was kind of messing me up a little bit.
Stomach?
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was feeling in my stomach a little bit. So I laid off the coffee for a little bit. I'll make a protein shake. I'll bring that with me because I want that all the time. And then I have some bagels and stuff at the gym. So I have like half a bagel protein. But I live close enough to work. I notice that I try to give myself as few excuses as possible to not be as successful as I can be, right? A lot of people are like, oh, I can't go to the gym because my gym's too far, or I have kids, or I have this, or I have that. You have to make the time. You have to figure out what works best for you. I pay a little bit more for my apartment, which is ridiculous of what I pay, but it's New York City-based prices. But I live 4 blocks from my gym. So it's like I have no excuse not to get there. I'm very close by. I could open up at any time. I could take clients at any time. Me being closer to work helps me be more successful in what I want to do. But yeah, I get to the gym, kind of turn the lights on, make it feel good. Depending on who I have in the morning, I'll do a little like kind of stretch ritual with them, kind of move around a little bit with them. I'll do something. I'll just like jump in. I don't want to take up too much of their session by me doing stuff. But some people love it. Some people are like, you're pushing me to do more. But I like to jump in there, get my blood flowing a little bit. I think it's super important for me. Like just this morning, I had a client, finished up with them, kind of just did some like more like kettlebell swings with them, like kind of their warm-up routine. And then I jumped on the treadmill myself, kind of did some intervals, and I'm like, all right, I feel good. I'm not killing myself. And I think that's the biggest misconception is everybody thinks they have to go to the gym and tear it up. And I'm like, no, just do something. Get your blood flowing. After I eat now, I've been doing this for a couple months now. After I eat or do something, I have to like do a little workout, like get my blood flowing a little bit, like kind of burn those excess calories out. I think it's a little cheat that I've been using for the past couple months.
We are in control.
Yeah.
We have the ability to decide whether we are going to be in shape or out of shape, whether we are going to eat this or eat that,
mm-hmm.
whether we are going to wake up early or sleep late, whether we're going to push snooze or not, whether we're going to wash our face, brush our teeth, floss our teeth, whether we're going to read or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest piece of the puzzle is trying to communicate this idea that we are in control of our health and wellness. And if we can control our health and wellness, well, then we can ultimately be successful in anything.
Well, I had so many arguments with people during the last couple of years because everybody's blaming everyone else for all their shit. And you know, by no means did I grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey. Like, I shared a room with both my brothers, not just one, both my brothers for years on end till I was in my 20s, basically. My family didn't really have much to give us. I always said that, like, the only thing I'm privileged about is the fact that I had two parents that gave a shit. I think that's so important. But for me, it's like, we really didn't have much. Like, I didn't have anything. I remember like looking at kids who had Nike sneakers. Like I started buying Nikes when I started making money, like coming off TV and stuff. Cause I'm like, oh my God, I could never have these before. And like, I remember seeing kids on the street being like, dude, he's got Nikes. I got BK Dimasels. I don't even know what this shit is, right? I had British Knights. I had the shittiest sneakers. And I just couldn't be less cool, right? I had big square glasses and shit. For me, I started to take control when I was like 13, 14 years old. I was like, as soon as I have access to a gym and like learn how to work out, this is what I'm gonna do. And so many people wanna blame everybody else for their shit, but I'm like, you have to take control of your own life. Like I could blame my parents for this and my high school teacher for that and my old boss for this. And it's like, for what? I'm giving everybody else the power that I really have. So like for me, when I didn't get a job I didn't want, I created myself just with the event. I was never asked to speak at an event. I don't even want to speak at my own event. The only reason I was up there with Gunnar is because he told me, he's like, I want you to do it. I was like, all right. I was like, I could get somebody good. I was like, I'll find somebody better than me. He's like, no, come up there. I'm like, all right, for sure. But for me, it was like, I want to empower other people. I want to help other people. But I'm like, this is my event. It didn't exist. So I did it. Same thing with my gym. I was like, I want a gym. And I don't want to have to listen to anybody else do it. So I'm going to figure out how to do it myself. You know, I wanted it, like when I was younger, it's like I wanted to be on television. So I went and tried to be on television. You know, that's what it's all about. I mean, I think people are always like, well, I wish I did this or I wish I'd do that. I actually fight with some of my family about it because they're always like, oh, I'm like, stop talking like you got a fucking bad deal. We grew up in the same house. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, it's you could do it. You just have to be willing to sacrifice the things that you think you should have.
There's so many things that you just said that one I want to touch on that I feel like you brushed past that is so important. And I know that, you know, you're not a parent yet. There's not everybody listening to this as a parent. But you said the one thing that I am privileged with is that I had two parents that gave a shit.
Yeah.
And it almost makes me emotional when you say that, because having parents that give a shit is amazing, and I'm going to get there. But just because you have parents that did not give a shit, not you, just in general, parents that did not give a shit does not determine whether or not you are going to be successful or not, right?
I agree.
If you blame your parents, then and only then do they have the power over where you are today.
Absolutely.
If you let the past predict and dictate the present and potential future, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing you can do about the past. You cannot change it.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I was one of those people who I looked at kids in high school and even now, right? You see some people who are like, oh, my family owns hotels, so they have all this shit, right? Like, I always say, like, if I had to pick a privilege that I had, I guess I had two people who gave a shit, right? Probably more than the average parent that I have encountered. But by no means were my parents like the Rockefellers taking care of everything and shit. Like, we didn't really have much. But they gave what they could.
I had a really tough home. Mm-hmm. My father did not give a shit, and my mother did for sure. But I saw something, because I've battled over the years, and I think it's probably why I also go so hard in my life. Like, I attack things. I don't just, like, you know, half in the bag do things. I fucking attack. Whatever I want to do and actually want to do, I, like, attack.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes from not having the confidence that I potentially could have had with a father mm-hmm. that would have told me I was awesome. And so I just want to say that, and I don't blame my parents for anything. Honestly, I don't. But I do want to put a little, you know, shoot a blast out there for anyone who is a parent. Tell your children you love them often. Hug them as often as you can. And it's not like I do it inauthentically. I genuinely love my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two young boys. I fucking love them, dude. I love them, and I tell them all the time. And I do it not like with an agenda. I do it because, like, it's real for me. And I think some people love their kids,
mm-hmm.
but forget to let them know.
Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's probably because you know how much of an impact that would have had on you had someone have told you
probably.
That.
Probably.
You know, I have had coaches and teachers and trainers. You know, I started hiring trainers when I was 20, 21 years old because I was, like, obsessed with this shit. You know, obviously, up until that point, I had coaches and stuff in college. I wrestled in college, so I had coaches there and stuff. And I remember, just like I remember freshman, I was 13 years old, 14 years old, and I remember what this coach told me. Some of them care more than others, and, you know, that was late 90s, early 2000s when it's like, you got to be a man. Grab your balls. Let's go. You know, it's always some hard ass shit. And it was like, that's the only way they knew how to show love, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I got to college, I had a coach, who was my, my coach, my junior and senior year in college. And awesome guy. And he was a little bit more compassionate. He was like, hey man, I just want to see you win. Like, and I felt it. He genuinely, like, he's like, I want to just see you be a great wrestler. And I was like, holy shit, that's completely different from what I've been fed my whole life. Because my dad was Marine, cop, like, don't cry, be a man, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, so that's how I lived most of my life. My high school coaches, same way. You're bleeding, tape your face up. It's like, all right, let's go. And I was used to that. And then when I got to college, I had a college coach who was just like, what do you need for me? Let me help you out. And it was like, holy shit. I'm like, there's another way to teach people. There's another way to make people feel good. So I've kind of learned from both. Mm. And I know how important that is for certain people to hear certain things, right? Like some guys want to be yelled at and girls want to be yelled at in the gym and they want that experience. And then other people need to be like, are you okay? Everything good? So it's understanding both sides of that helps me become a better coach.
And I also know it's so interesting that you say that, like, because I coach a couple of guys too, and I've played both roles there. Mm-hmm. With my kids, my wife tends to play the tough guy role.
Yeah, well now you have a yin and a yang. Yeah. You have her. Yeah.
She tends to play the tough guy role, but my kids have seen for sure the side of me that means business. Mm-hmm. And I don't pull that out often. And when I do pull that out, it is very intentional. It's not a reaction ever. Mm-hmm. And you're right. That is because that was my father's reaction to everything. Mm-hmm. Anger, frustration, like, let me deliver some pain, abusive pain. For me, I have learned to grow the self-awareness in all the shit that I do to know when to lay down the hammer so that people understand, whether it's my kids, whether it's an employee, whether it's a friend, my wife, family, whatever, so that they understand that this nice guy also draws boundaries.
Yeah. I think everybody needs to have both of those. I think sometimes I'm too nice and I get shit on. So it's, you have to pull out the tough guy card every once in a while. I don't think somebody who's always nice is ever going to get the responses they want. But I totally get that. I think nowadays everybody, there's this hot topic of like, oh, don't be an alpha male and, you know, all that's bullshit. I think we need alpha males and alpha females. I don't think anybody should be stepped all over. And the reason why you need that coat of armor, that side to you, is because there are shit people out there and there are people who don't give a shit about you. So you have to have that other side. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously treat people the way you're getting, you know, getting their reaction. Right?
This is sort of the way I've broken it down personally, and I've had to learn over the years of leading, you know, with Meatball Shop, Seymour's. I mean, there was one time, and it sounds crazy to say out loud, but there was one time between Meatball Shop and Seymour's that I had 700 employees.
Holy shit.
700 full-time employees at the restaurants. And I was—
How many restaurants did you have at one point?
At one time, there was 14 restaurants.
14. Yeah. Holy shit.
And so— You know, and I wasn't alone, right? I had a big team of people that worked with me to, you know, to manage this massive pool of people. But in the beginning, I was way too nice. I was way too nice, and I thought that if I just told people the rules in the beginning,
they would just follow.
They would just follow them, and I could be nice. But I will say that I am generally just a nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, I like to make people feel good. That is like part of my DNA. I want people to feel good all the time. What I learned was that there's a difference between being an asshole and being direct.
Yeah.
Most people, whether they want to think so or not, and I've learned this from being a father, being a dog owner for years, like with your dog, if you're like nice and beat around the bush, that dog is going to own you.
I say that all the time.
That dog is going to fucking own you.
Yeah.
So you have to be stern with the dog, right? Mm-hmm. No matter how big or small the dog is, no matter how vicious or not vicious, if you don't train that dog with some
yeah.
cojones, the dog is going to own you, whether you're a man or a woman, right? Yep. So but I also know that no one works better when they're in fear. Most people in fear are running as fast as they can from something and don't take the time to see the stick and trip, mm-hmm. right? They don't take the time to read the email before they send it because they're so scared about a deadline. And so they send the wrong shit. They send it before it's done. Most people will look to cheat the system And, you know, there's when people are in fear, you are not getting their potential. And so I don't believe in leading with fear. I believe, and I know that I'm going to get steamrolled 10% of the time because I'm a nice guy. I know it. I just know it. But I also know, and I feel proud to say that, like, I've hired probably 1,000 to 2,000 people throughout my life, personally hired, like interviewed, made the call, brought them on board, and then they were onboarded with the team. I've probably fired 500 to 1,000 people over the course of my career. I would argue to say that at least 85% of the people that I've fired, if I picked up the phone and called them today and said, hey, I know, you know, things didn't work out the way we had hoped for, but I would love you to come back, they would be on board.
Oh, shit.
And it's because I believe in treating the team like gold. I'm so much more invested in my team than the customer.
You know, when I was at the old gym, even building out the event, I'm kind of a pushover where somebody's like, hey, man, can I have a free ticket? I'm like, sure. And Christy's the yin to my yang. She wants to charge everybody triple and double. And I'm like, I'd rather just have more people there. And I'd rather just make it more fun. And I want people to feel good about it. Like, I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, he's just trying to make money. Like, the goal wasn't money. It's still not, right? Like, I'd love to make money. That'd be great. But, like, the goal is to really create something special that people look forward to year after year. And I was always the same way. My old gym, I had, you know, 20 different coaches. I had all these different programs going on. I would take everybody out to eat all the time. I'd spend my own money, you know, bringing everybody on and making sure everybody felt good about it. And I was throwing all these different events and stuff then. Some people appreciate it. And it's different archetypes, right? Like, some people are really appreciate it and want to be on board and you get their buy-in. And then other people think, like, he's just a pushover. I could just do what I want. So there was always this give and take. And I always thought I did good by people. And then there's like, I don't think I don't have the same confidence to be like, hey, if I called up one of those people right now, they'd be like, go fuck yourself. You know, because I had to let people go and stuff before. And it just never sat well with me. I need to be a little bit more direct, more of, you know, when it came to television, he's like, oh, you're such an asshole. And it's like, when I'm playing a game, like when I was on television, I could play a game and just be like, this is the way the game's played and I'm going by the rules. In real life, I was always just like, I would kind of let people linger longer than they should have, rather than just being direct and being like, hey, you know, this isn't working out. You need to go. Like it just happened this morning, you know, with somebody. I was just like, this isn't working out. Like, it just doesn't make sense. You're not happy. I'm not happy. Let's just go our separate ways. For me, it's not an emotional thing. It's more of a, like, it's business. And, you know, it just needs to go in separate directions.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think, you know, they say the famous term, hire slow, fire fast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For sure.
Because ultimately, when somebody's there for too long, they're probably not happy, and you're certainly not happy.
Yeah, right? Everybody feels the awkwardness, you know?
You know, I've worked with a lot of people that are just very, very happy to tell somebody to take a hike. No, like, no questions, no nothing, just...
Yeah, I wish I could be that ruthless. I wish I could be like... Cause I admire the fact that a friend of mine owns a bunch of bars on the east side, and he's got rules, and he sticks by them. He doesn't give a shit who it is. Like, I know he's fired friends of ours and shit. Like, he's just like, these are the rules. It's business. Scram. You know, and I know those guys are still... Yeah, those guys are still friends with him and shit. I'm like, I wish I was more like that. I had a guy in my gym where I'm like, I don't know why I'm letting him linger on. It was more like he was like this new term, quiet quitting, right? He's just like quietly quitting. And you're like, you're just not doing anything anymore. Mm-hmm. You're not motivated anymore. I don't know what the fuck I did to upset you. But, you know, if you're not going to tell me, I'm not going to like keep chasing after the answer. So you got to just let it go.
This podcast is brought to you by, you guessed it, Creatures of Habit. Creatures of Habit is a lifestyle and wellness brand rooted in functional nutrition. The protagonist is a superhuman, incredibly delicious instant and overnight oatmeal blend developed to feed your body the most optimized blend of vitamins, minerals, and macros. With premium oats, 30 grams of plant-based protein, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D3, a probiotic, and digestive enzymes in each pouch, you will never have to think about what to eat for breakfast, pre-workout or post-workout meal, or a healthy meal any time of the day in a pinch. Made 4 simple and convenient ways. 1, just add hot water. 2, overnight in the fridge. 3, add to a delicious smoothie or simply put in the microwave. Take the stress out of worrying about what to eat for a healthy and delicious way to kickstart your day. And if you fast, this is the perfect meal one as it delivers wellness, satiety, and delicious flavors. Pop over to creaturesofhabit.com. That's creaturesofhabit.com with a K, creaturesofhabit.com, and put in promo code KOHPOD20 for 20% off your first order.
I want to get back to some habits. So I have an insanely structured morning routine. Yeah. I also have a very structured evening wind down routine. Not everybody does, but I do believe that setting up the evening really does help us prepare for the next day, right? I mean, we know that sleep is everything. Bad sleep, you just guarantee bad day. So setting yourself up for great sleep sets you up for great day tomorrow. Yeah. What does your wind down routine look like?
I've been trying to figure out what that looks like more and more. I come home most nights 8, 9, 10 o'clock. So it's like I do need something to wind down. So sometimes I do turn on TV, but since COVID and everything, I just feel like TV's shit. Like there's nothing on anymore. I don't care about it. After the last season of Game of Thrones, I was just like, I'm over everything.
I disagree.
Like, I can't get into anything. Like I've been trying to get into stuff.
I'm going to give you a list.
I need something because I tried to watch the new Thor movie last night. 7 minutes in, I'm like, this is horrible. I turned it off. So I have a journal that I keep underneath my coffee table, and I have a drawing book. So I went to school for art and stuff, art and design. I love that stuff. I love creating. So I keep those both under my coffee table, and I'll like whip those out, and I'll just kind of write down ideas, and I'll write down affirmations, like things I want and things I want to manifest. So I'll do a lot of that.
At night?
Yeah. That's kind of my night routine. I'll have some protein and maybe some carbs before I go to bed. Kind of just helps me feel good the next morning. Because if I don't know, I just started doing that. So it's been working recently.
Protein and carbs?
Yeah.
So how do you do it?
I'll do some fruit and some Greek yogurt. Kind of just like takes care of that sweet tooth I have at night. You know, I'll maybe put some honey on it, so I feel that feels pretty good. You know, I could go to bed happy. But yeah, for the most part, I really don't have a good wind down routine. I got to figure that out.
I've really developed my wind down routine over time. Obviously, you know, having two young kids, like there were some years.
How
there.
How old are they?
7 and 5 now.
Okay, so what time you normally put them down?
They go down. And you know, I'm also, I got to say, I'm lucky to have a wife who's like very structured. My wife is like army style. Yeah. They are upstairs in their room every night without fail at 7:15.
Holy shit.
Dinner is on the table every single night at 6 p.m. on the dot, ready to eat. She's like 6
p.m. So right after dinner, they're upstairs.
Right. So we eat from like 6 to 6:30. We do this thing called Rose Bun and Thorn where we roll around the table. Either during or right after dinner, we talk about one thing that was awesome today, one thing that sucked today, and one thing that we're looking forward to.
Love that.
And then we do we'll play some kind of game. Like last night, we play. My kids come up with these games. So last night we played this game that my younger son called the animal game, and basically you whisper to the person next to you an animal and. The other, you know, two people at the table have to ask questions to try to get to guess what the animal is. We'll play like, you know, we play games and then we always have a puzzle we're working on. I mean, I'm like a real dad. I'm like a real, I'm just fucking.
I admire nowadays, like I think every one of my friends has a kid. You know, my brother's got 4, my sister's got 3. Two of my best friends have 1 and 2 apiece. I admire it because it's such a hard job today. It's so like we can't agree on the simplest shit nowadays in life. And like to have to explain things to kids and like prepare them for life now, I think is harder than ever before.
I can't even believe realistically I can recall maybe 5 times. And I don't even think I could recall 5 times that I sat at the dinner table with my family and had dinner.
Yeah.
Literally, like ever. It never happened. Mm-hmm. It just never happened. We had a dining table as big as this round table right here. We had a tiny little apartment. It just never happened. It was like, you know, either there was like food that we ordered in or my mom would make chicken cutlets and potatoes.
Yeah.
And it was like in your bedroom or at the, you know, at, on the coffee table. But no, we never sat around. So I have been having dinner every single night with my family since 2019, because pre-2019 I was in the restaurants and I was home for dinner maybe once or twice a week. Every weekend I was home for dinner. But I will say that since I've been out of the restaurant business and sitting down with my family every single night at 6 o'clock is the biggest gift I've been given as part of my life. Yeah. You know, like sitting down with my family every night. And so I genuinely love being a dad, dude. I fucking love being a dad. If you took a snapshot of my childhood, most people would say that guy is not gonna ever. He's not gonna be a good father. Yeah, and if he is a father ever, I genuinely love the time with my fam.
See, and it doesn't matter. Like, people always are like, oh, if you come from this type of household or that type of household, it'll determine like how you are. But I think every individual is different. Everybody absorbs things differently. You know, I always laugh. I love Sebastian Maniscalco.
I don't know.
The comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like this Italian guy from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he always talks, he's like when he has conversations with his father, and his father's like, what's the matter with you? Huh? You fine? All right, good. It's like, that's how my childhood was. I got to have the worst day ever. It was like, you were mentioning like you had five dinners. I think I could name five times my whole life I had an actual conversation with my father. I'd always be like, you're fine, right? You're fine? I could be like bloody crying. You're fine. Don't worry about it. I'll see you later. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm fine.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, and it's funny. And it's like hearing you, and one of my best friends is like obsessed with his kids. He does everything. He's up at 5 a.m. with them. He's playing with them. He'll jump in his pool at 2 in the morning if they get up and want to go in the pool. I'm like, I would put them right the fuck back to bed. But he's like that type of dad.
He's that dad, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's incredible because I don't think his dad was like that with him. So people always think like you have to come from that household to be like that, but I don't think so.
I think that plays back to your past can either totally own your life.
Yeah.
And you could be a victim of your past, or you can take control and grab the reins and create the story that you want people to tell about you.
So my last name is pretty common. Like, I've been to like London before, and people are like, Santucci, you're mafioso? I'm like, no, not at all. And you watch a lot of like mob movies, and it's always like in the back of The Godfather, there's like a Santucci's tailor. And then there's this really famous pizza place down in Philly that's like Santucci's. And people are like, oh, you're related to this one? I'm like, no one in my family has ever done shit right. I go, no one in my family has any money. If everybody died tomorrow, I'd be left with fucking $5,000 worth of bills. But for me, I'm like, I don't want that to be how I think of my life, how I think of my family. I'm like, all right, I'm going to try to do what no one else has done in my family. Everybody else became very blue collar, cops, you know, teachers and things like that. I'm like, I have this passion to create, and I have this passion to like watch people smile and feel good. And I have this passion for the gym. So I kind of took all this shit and smashed it together and kind of created the gym and created the event and stuff like that. And, you know, I think I don't chase money, but I understand the power and the importance of having it to make change.
Are there a few habits that you just do that you've developed over the years that just help you be a better person? It doesn't have to be a morning thing or an evening thing, but just like throughout your day, little tips, tricks, hacks, habits that you can share with the community?
100%. Especially in New York, when you're exposed to so many people, whether I walk in a coffee shop or I get in a cab, or I get on the subway, I try to smile at somebody or like say hello. Because if you're down south, Alabama, like I love Louisiana, I love New Orleans, and you're down there and you're like, everybody's like, hi, how are you doing? And you're like, you almost feel good about it. And it's not weird. When you do that here in New York, people are like, get away from me, a weirdo. But like, I try to do that because when you make conversation with people and make them feel good and you're genuinely interested in their day, like anytime I get an Uber or something, I'm like, hey man, how's everything going? And they like want to share with you. Not many people are doing that with them.
Yeah.
If they feel good about themselves and they're like, oh, I had a good conversation, whatever, that trickle down effect, that contagious kind of feel good feeling will spin into other aspects of their life. I always said, like, coming to the gym, I always want to be the best part of people's day. I think that's like a very kind of old school CrossFit mentality. Like, people will feel good. Like, you never leave the gym. You could leave a restaurant. You could leave the best restaurant in New York City. You know, belly full, and you're like, ah, I shouldn't have had the pastries, or I shouldn't have had that extra cookie. I feel like shit. I just spent fucking $700 on two people to eat this bullshit. And you'll feel like shit. You'll never leave the gym feeling like shit, right? Mm-hmm. And the cherry on top of the cake that I like to leave people is, like, making them feel good, giving them a high five. It's like, yo, go fucking tackle a day. Have a good day. Like, people want to hear that. They want to feel, like, if somebody said that to me as I'm, like, getting out of a cab, like what I was saying before, you know how much that made you, how much that would mean to you. So I try to do those things that I know would make me feel good to somebody else on a daily basis. Right? Like, giving somebody a fist pound, or even with homeless people. Like, everybody's like, why do you always talk to homeless people? I'm like, he asked me for money. For me to just ignore this guy, I just feel that's like, I don't know, I just feel so terrible about it.
You know,
so
if somebody asked me for money. I'm so happy you said that, because I do that. Somebody said to me one, actually not somebody, my business partner Daniel in the meatball shop, he said to me one night, we grew up 5 blocks away from each other, mm-hmm. in the city. I grew up with homeless people everywhere. It's everywhere, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I just got to a point where I was just like, you gotta tune them out, you know what yeah. I mean? And then one day he said, you know, Mike, I noticed that, like, if somebody says something to you, a homeless guy says something, you never say anything. He's like, why don't you just tell him, you know, I don't have any money to give you, but have a great night.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
Like, you might not, that saying that will mean more to a percentage of those people than giving them a dollar.
Couple of years ago, we were in the gym, and we were right on 32nd and Park Avenue. Mm-hmm. So the subway lets off right there. Homeless people would come in all the time. This one guy walks in one day, disheveled, long beard, and he's like, just acting crazy. I'm like, whoa, what could I get you, man? What do you need? I need water. I'm like, here's the water. Here, take a protein bar, blah, blah, blah. I was like, sit down. How's it going? I sat there and talked to this guy for like an hour, and everybody's like, the fuck were you talking about with that guy? I go, he probably hadn't had anyone talk to him or ask him a question in God knows how long. He looks like a complete wackadoo, but it was just like, instead of him coming in and being crazy, like, I gave him a bunch of shit that cost us, what, $5? And he just felt good, and he's like, all right. Like, normally, like, somebody would throw him out. Like, he's like, all right, I'll see you later, man. I'm like, all right, bud, see you soon. And everybody's like, he's going to be back every day now. I'm like, whatever, we'll deal when it happens. But the way it made me feel, right? Maybe it was a selfish move on my part, but I definitely know it made him feel pretty good. And everybody's like, what the hell was that about? I'm like, I don't know. It just, I felt right, you know? So there's a lot of times when shit like that happens, especially like living here for so long. I've been here for like 12 years.
Yeah.
And some people are like crazy, and they, you know, I mean, you hear about the nuttiest shit right now, like people getting stabbed and shot and shit like that on the subway. But you know, I think most people, you could trace back that crazy, impulsive, wild shit to people just not feeling like anybody gives a shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think when you show somebody that you give a shit a little bit, they'll, I don't know, might turn their day around.
You've done a lot, man. You're you know, you've accomplished a lot. You've done a lot. You've proven to yourself and to the world that you're capable of a lot. Why do you do it every day?
I don't think I've proven it to myself. I think about, you know, when I wrestled in high school, like, I was a captain. I went from being this fat kid in high school to being like the captain of my team. And, you know, in college, I was like, oh, I'm never going to make it. And I was on the starting team. You know, when I was on television, I was like, oh man, if I could just win once, you know, I ended up winning 3 times, you know, I was invited back a lot. And then I was like, I really want to host. And I started hosting a lot of shit. And then with the gym, I'm like, when I first started working at Equinox, and they would give out awards at the end of each month, who had like the best month and everything. I love that, because it does make it a little bit competitive and people want to get better. And I was like, oh man, if I could be trainer of the month just once, and it happened a bunch of times. And then I was like, oh, if I could open up a gym, and then, you know, I opened up a gym, and I'm like, oh, if I could pull off this event, I like the process. I like the chase. I like creating things. And each time I have to prove to myself, when I did an Ironman, you know, everybody's like, you're nuts. You're going to kill yourself. You blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I just need to prove to myself. I think that was a good moment for me. I think, you know, crossing finish lines always feels good for me. You know, I'm never like, oh, I need to be number one, but I need to accomplish certain shit in life. I don't know. I guess I'm just wired that way that I have to do those things. Like, I have to get up in the morning. If I don't have clients at like 5, 6 a.m., I'm like, I fucked up somewhere. I got to get some clients. Those type A personalities that want to come in the morning, I was like, I want to be there with them. Like, if I'm around people like that, I'll become better. Because I remember having a job when I was in high school, college. Johnny used to work on the docks, Bon Jovi song. I used to work on the docks. My uncle got me the job, him and my dad. And I was working down there, and it was such a dead-end job, right? Like, people, like, you could make some serious cash down there. I mean, no offense to anybody out there who's a longshoreman or a checker or anything. Like, those guys make a ton of cash. I have buddies who kill it. You know, they make a lot of money. But for me, it wasn't satisfying, right? You just sit there. I mean, you could train a fucking ape to do what we were doing. Like, I remember looking out at the city, right? Because the pier's right in Newark, Elizabeth area. And I'm looking out at the city. I'm like, I need to be there, and I need to do something there that makes me feel not like this. So I always had to like do something. I had to create something. I had to be here for me to like feel fulfilled. And now I'm here, and now I need to create more and more. But I could have easily stayed down there, made a couple $100,000 a year, lived a pretty normal, easy life in New Jersey. Probably been married, divorced and shit by now. But I came here and tried to chase something, and I feel like I'm still chasing. And like New York, I mean, that's why they call it the rat race. We're all chasing something. I think it does help me move on. I think there's always, whether you believe in, you know, whatever religion you believe in, I think there is some sort of higher power, and there's something, rules that we need to abide by, but I think it's more in us. I think it's more like a soulful thing. It's like, it makes me feel complete. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel like when I go to the gym, I feel like I'm going to church. I'm like, I'm here, I'm arrived, I'm, you know, doing my penance, and now I'm ready to go, you know? And that's a daily process. I think a lot of people are like, we've been taught to like look forward to something, but it's, for me, it's like every day I just want to do something better, you know? Because I mean, we've all been fucked up before. We've all been screwed up before. And I think keeping yourself on those daily habits, doing what we need to do for ourselves so that we could service other people better. Like, you do this crazy morning routine and this crazy night routine so you could show up for all your employees, so you could show up for your kids, so you could show up for your wife. For me, it's like, I need to do all this shit so I could be as good as I can to everybody I interact with, you know? I've been saying it for years, and now I think it's become more common that people compare life to being on a plane that's going down, right? Every day it feels like life's going to end, right? Mm. You see storms and crazy shit all the time. You know, if the plane's going down, it's like, you got to be as prepared as possible. Put your mask on and then worry, you know, help other people do the same thing. You know, and I think that's what we're all meant to do, is survive, right? And then help other people survive.
Dude, I am so stoked about this conversation. Yeah. I mean, I have so much more in common with you than I thought. Yeah. You know, we think a lot alike. Living life a day at a time really is the key and the answer, I think, you know, as opposed to trying to live for tomorrow or live for next week or live for next year. Finding ways to appreciate, be present for the things that are happening right now and slowly chip away at that big mountain that we're trying to climb, yeah. You know, is... And you're an awesome example of it, dude. We definitely created some great value here today, man. I really appreciate you taking the time.
No, I appreciate you having me, dude.
Where can people follow along with you?
At Strong New York. Hopefully, we'll be announcing what we'll be doing in 2023. The Strength Club, NYC, is my gym. So if you guys ever want to stop by and check it out, and then at Kenny Santucci.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Appreciate you. Until the next one, peace.
And there you have it, folks. I hope we delivered some valuable content for you to implement into your life on a daily basis. Please remember that our habits have the power to make us or break us. Replacing bad habits with great ones is the answer to living a life of happiness, optimism, and high performance. We are capable of achieving anything. We all have what it takes to give it all we've got. Commit to one great habit each day and truly commit, and watch how everything in your life starts evolving from good to great. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. That will help us grow this podcast, bring on more amazing guests, and continue to deliver invaluable content on a weekly basis. Lastly, please share this podcast with any friends or family that you think might appreciate it. And always remember, want plus do equals have. Until the next one, fam, peace.